Hi, my name is Jonathan Carter. I'm a program manager in Visual Studio. And today we're going to talk about some improvements that we've made to the JavaScript memory profiler that we originally shipped in Visual Studio 2012 that are going to make it even easier for you to ensure that your Windows Store apps written in JavaScript are as performant as they can be and are going to be able to scale to devices of varying hardware capacity. So one of the first improvements that we've made to the JavaScript memory profiler in Visual Studio 2013 is integrate its experience into the Performance and Diagnostics Hub, along with every other performance profiler within Visual Studio. So now, instead of having to go and find the unique menu item that is specific to the JavaScript memory profiler, you can simply go to the Analyze menu and select Performance and Diagnostics. Once you do that, it will auto-select the target type based on your application, your current project that's loaded, which in this case is a Windows Store app written with JavaScript. And you'll notice that it automatically provides the list of tools that are available. In this case, the one that we're going to focus on is JavaScript Memory. So if I select that and hit Start, what we'll have is the same experience that we had back in Visual Studio 2012 with some improvements. So one of the first things that we added in order to help make it easier to instrument and narrow down memory usage in your application based on scenario is you'll notice on the ruler, we display this thing called a user mark, which here it says begin loading homepage, complete loading homepage. And what this helps indicate to me is this was the point in my application's execution that was occurring. So I can maybe rationalize better where and what was going on and why there might have been memory increase or decrease. Now, in order to add these user marks into your application, you'll notice that the tooltip for the user mark legend item itself says indicates calls to performance.mark method. And so what that means is in your application code, all you have to do is simply add calls to that function. So if we go to the items page, items.js, you'll notice that here was such a call, performance.mark, and you pass it the string. The great thing about this is that performance.mark is a HTML5 standard API that will exist at runtime and allow you to actually access that telemetry data to be able to send to the server or collect in order to determine the performance of your app in the wild. So what we wanted to do was encourage the use of that API for gathering that type of performance data and light them up in all of the performance tools. And so that's one of the first improvements that we've made. Now, in addition, what we've wanted to do was help make it easier to spot issues that exist in your app as you're collecting memory. And so to do that, what you really need to do to begin drilling into an investigation that can be as meaty as it needs to be to make a resolution, you need to start taking a snapshot. And so what we'll do is let's go ahead and just close the graph and let's capture a snapshot at this point in time in our application, which as we know is just the homepage. So what we see is the familiar links on the snapshot summary tile that tell us the size of the memory that our application is using and the number of objects that we've allocated. Now, in addition, there's a unique piece of UI on the summary tile that is new to Visual Studio 2013, and that is this link right here, which if we hover over it, it tells us that if we click this, it'll help us view details of any potential issues. And what this is trying to help you identify is whether within that snapshot, in your application, there were any opportunities for improvement that might be worth you investigating. And in this case, what it's actually indicating to us is that there is a detached DOM node in this snapshot, which is usually a good candidate for an optimization that can be made. So when you come here, you'll notice that clicking that link takes us into the familiar details view, but it's sorted by this column that immediately tells us that this node is not attached to the DOM. Now, if we select this guy, we can use the familiar object references to essentially figure out what it is he's representative of, which can tell us that he's just simply a doc fragment that is part of our page control, and so it's not something that we really need to worry about. But what's interesting and valuable about this feature is it helps us know that there is something that's worth looking into. And so as you're capturing snapshots of your application, if you unknowingly are accruing or building up detached DOM nodes that you're leaking, this will give you a very quick and easy way to find out whether that's the case. Now, in addition, we've done a few improvements to the identifier of objects to help make it easier to spot what exactly something is representative of. And so to illustrate that, let's go ahead and sort this application by size. and scroll up so that we can spot what objects are the biggest contributors to memory in this application. And you'll notice at the very top, the two that stand out is an image that is 9.66 megabytes and a script element that is 2.69. Now, the improvements that we've made since the Visual Studio 2012 release is that for all DOM elements, we've now display the class, ID, and source attribute for those elements to help make it easier to know what they are. So in this case, we know very easily that this nearly 10 megabyte size image is specifically the martini.jpg, which makes it easier for us to make an informed decision whether how we can optimize this. In addition, we can see easily that this extremely large JavaScript file is our localized data.js. And so if we want to go and streamline this and say, hey, we actually don't need to load this file immediately at the application's initial execution, we can go ahead and streamline that. So for instance, we could go to our app, we could say, hey, we're not going to statically load localized data. And I know that it's this guy because the memory tool showed it to me. And if we go into our images and look for martini.jpg, we can notice that this image, as is expected, is quite large, 2250 by 3000. And so that's why if we're expecting to see a good memory usage, it's probably not going to be very good. So if we went and said, hey, let's do 300 by 400, let's make it very tiny, make the image quality about, we'll just say 80, and then save it. So now that we've made those optimizations, let's go ahead and rerun another memory session to see whether we've made the expected improvements. So we'll go back to the Diagnostics Hub, begin profiling against our app, and we'll simply come back and capture another snapshot. Now, as soon as we do this, you'll notice that now, I believe in our previous snapshot, the memory usage was around 20 megs. Now it's at 4.54. If we select this, come back into the details, sort by size again, what we'll see is that no longer is there a nearly 10 megabyte image at the top, and no longer is there the localized data. Now, to confirm that, what we can actually do is we can search by localize, and we notice we don't find it. We can search for martini.jpg, and here's the image, but now it is a dramatically smaller 176 kilobytes in size. So we just improved the size and memory usage of this app by nearly 13 megs, which is a great improvement, especially for making sure that your application is as small as possible. And in this case, images, script content, media of all kinds is really a great opportunity to streamline the size and the potential bloat of your application, such that the experience that users are going to get will continue to be the same, but you're just removing the cost of loading scripts that are not necessary or decoding images that are larger than they need to be to provide the view that you want. Now, in addition, let's show a couple other features that start to really surface themselves when you take subsequent snapshots. So if we go back to the app and we select this page, navigate away, and then come back and take another snapshot, what we'll see on the snapshot tile is a few things. One, we see the familiar growth in object count and memory size, which help us indicate that the transition from the home page to the detail page increases our memory usage by about 2 megs. But you'll notice that now the object count indicates a much more rich detail of churn to help you understand whether the allocation patterns that you were expecting actually occurred. So in this case, when we navigated to the secondary page, we deallocated over 1,000 objects, which means that our application is behaving the way we would expect in that as you move from page to page, we do a teardown and build up of the subsequent and previous page. Now, in addition, when you want to begin rationalizing and saying, okay, great, I want to understand what this 982 objects are and what this 2.01 megabytes in increase is, when you go into the details, the diff view actually now shows a new operation column that will help you understand what exactly the state of each object was in relation to the snapshots that you're diffing. So in the types view, each type, you'll notice, has a column that basically says, was this type modified between these two points in time? Was there an object of that type that was modified, or was there not? So for instance, we see here that there were the div, there were 135 that were added. If we scroll down a little bit, you'll notice that here there are many types of objects that exist in the application, but actually had no change of state between these two points in time. Now, in addition, if you want to see that same operation state at the dominator kind of object level, what you can do is if we come and sort by operation, now we can easily see every object specifically that was added between those two points in time. And as we'll scroll down, you'll notice that if we were to add this up, that would end up equating to the 980 some objects that were added. And as we scroll down, you'll notice that there are many that were unchanged. And what this lets us do is basically focus these objects out, right? Because what we are interested in is the growth between these two points in time. And without being able to see exactly what the operation that was done on the object was, it would be difficult to know. So here we can start to pivot and say, there was a growth of 2.28 megs in an object that was added that was representative of this div class article section. And so here we can start to do a more informed investigation regarding which object was added and contributed the most to this growth. And so that's one of the values of the operation column, in specifically in doing leak detection or understanding growth over time. So there was a few other important features that we added that I won't go into now, but one of them is the ability in the reference graph. You'll notice when you look at the settings menu, we have this new option that's called Display Circular References. And what's great about this is now whenever you find an object that you want to be able to remove and find the references that you need to nullify in order to make it collectible by the GC, this will ensure that when you view the references in the object reference view down below, that it will not show any circular reference paths, which makes it much more actionable and meaningful for you to know that when you select an object, you can know the exact set of reference paths that you need to break in order to make something collectible, versus chasing a reference path that's ultimately not going to yield any value because it's just circular. So as we saw in the demo, Visual Studio 2013 and the JavaScript Memory Profiler makes it even easier to identify your application's memory usage, including spotting memory leaks, improving bloat, and just overall improving the performance of your app and making it even more capable of reaching a broader device and consumer audience. So if you want more information on this tool, please check out the resources links, which include videos, blog posts, and other information to make sure that you can get started easily and continue effectively improving your application's performance.